This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and banner up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
Tuesdays with Batko resumes, well, right at this very moment. Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette. You can see him on our YouTube channel, settling in. What a wonderful man he's become. You can read his stuff at postgazette.com. It's been an eventful day here, Brian. Our texters determined in the last segment that Limits here is biased against Will Howard because Limits is a Penn State fan and wants Drew Aller here. You agree with the texters on that one?
No, I don't think City Limits' issues with Will Howard are related to his Penn State bias. I think he, frankly, has too much integrity and professional decorum for that.
It's funny that comes up because just last week, this happened. Do you have that, Limits?
Now you're insulting my intelligence.
No, I'm insulting your integrity. That just happened. I don't know about Limits' integrity. I think he's a smart man, but I think he does want Aller here. He said he's not even open to Will Howard being good.
He's a six-round pick.
Are you open to the idea of him being good? John Gruden thinks he's good. A lot of people out there think they might have gotten a steal here.
Of course I am. I'm open-minded toward a lot of possibilities in sports, in life, quarterbacks, draft picks. I don't want to speak in absolutes and write off somebody like Will Howard, especially when he did just help Ohio State win the national title. Now, I know he had a lot of talent around him, but I happen to think that he was right there in that next tier of guys after Cam Ward. And, you know, I thought Shador was a better prospect, of course, and Jackson Dart too. But I thought it got a little bit difficult to discern between the likes of Will Howard and Tyler Shuck and Quinn Ewers and those guys. So, no, I wouldn't be stunned if he has a nice NFL career.
Okay, then we'll move to another quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. What is happening here, Brian? When is this going to happen? I hear from hearsay, more or less, you know, people, my neighbor, things like that, who knows a guy, that this is done. And just common sense tells me it's done. Is it?
I don't think anything's done until it's done. But I do believe, based on everything we've heard and from Art Rooney II's public comments, it seems like they're confident that he is going to come around to them. I don't have the answer necessarily for why he hasn't yet, though. I know he did his whole spiel on the McAfee show a few weeks ago now, and it was all about the pressing personal problems within his inner circle. But maybe the fact that he was down there at the Kentucky Derby is a positive sign that some of that heaviness is not weighing him down quite as much now. He's able to go about the country a little bit and do some things.
Did you see the potential wedding ring that Aaron Rodgers has on his finger, Brian? Is this the thing that's been going on in his life?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, him on McAfee, it sounded like it was more of the, I guess, dour nature than anything like it. He didn't exactly sound live like he was planning a wedding as far as that taking up his personal time. It seemed more sensitive in nature. So I couldn't really care less whether Aaron Rodgers is married, betrothed, or just like that ring on that hand.
Do you think McAfee gets an invite to the wedding if he is getting married?
Oh, absolutely.
You agree with that limit?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, Brian.
Well, it is Aaron Rodgers. It could be one of those really small 20-person weddings, so maybe not, but it seems like those two are pretty tight. But
who was your favorite draft pick outside of Derek Harmon?
You know, I think where they got Caleb Johnson, running back from Iowa, is maybe even a slight rung above Harmon because of the value there in the third round. I just thought there was no chance that Johnson was going to be there. Now, don't get me wrong, Harmon, I think, is still the Steelers pick most likely to succeed, but Johnson being there was a nice little coup, and it seems like Omar Khan has gotten a lot of those since he's taken over the GM role, and I know how much input does he have on the picks versus Mike Tomlin and Andy Weidel. We could always debate that, but I do think that the Steelers drafting, let me know if this makes sense to you, Joe, in City Limits. I think the Steelers drafting has lined up more closely with kind of the outside media outlook of draft picks since he took over. I mean, you go back to the Colbert regime. I mean, Terrell Edmonds was about as far afield as you could possibly get for a first round pick these days. And even other guys like Isaiah Loudermilk, I think a lot of the main draft gurus had him as sort of a fringe sixth, seventh round guy. They traded up to get him in the fifth. You haven't seen as many of those, I guess, head scratchers, if we want to call it that, since Omar's been in that post.
Yeah, I guess I would agree with that.
That doesn't mean they're going to be good picks, but I think it helps your day of draft grades and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I actually do. I do agree with that. I think that's very well said by you. I don't want to do the usual interview here where we ask all the obvious stuff. Let's go a little offbeat, if you wouldn't mind, Brian.
We never do. What? Since when do we do usual interviews?
Well, that's true, I guess, with you.
I was at my kid's school last week, and it was like a little event, and there was just a coffee table. It was like a breakfast thing, and I go up to get my coffee, and I just hear from some man I'd never talked to before say, "Oh, the Batconian mongoose."
And I like
filled up my cup and walked away. So I guess I should have asked him, do you listen often, or thanked him for paying attention? But I just, you know, gave some sort of pleasantry and went on about my day.
I mean, I'm deeply honored by that. That's one that I did not expect to gain any track. It's not even, I don't use it that often, the Batconian mongoose, but the fact that somebody repeated it is a deep honor limit.
I have actually a story to share with you, Joe. So, you know, we play basketball a lot on Wednesday nights.
You and Brian?
No, Brian also does play basketball. Brian should come play basketball with us. But there was a new guy that we had this past week, and I didn't really know who he was, but about halfway through, he came up to me and tried to shake my hand and said, "Can I call you Limits? I listen all the time."
There you go.
I didn't know who you were at first until I heard your voice.
There you go. It's like Izzy, Z, Peggy, and Tree, right?
That's
Everybody's
right.
Got a nickname.
Big happy family.
All right, Brian.
Ade and Eku from last Steelers season. You remember that?
Yeah, Ade and Eku, of course. Who could ever forget?
Eku's still on the team.
Is he?
It's a big day, maybe for some edge rushers like Ade and Eko, man, who just got here.
And who just left there, except apparently Eko. So, Brian, there's always one or two guys every year who surprise us, who nobody knows about in the offseason, but who suddenly are contributing. Who might those guys be this year? One or two guys, whether it's undrafted free agents, signees from other organizations. Who could you imagine surprising people and becoming a contributor?
I think two guys I look at there, and you always have to have an opportunity and a path to playing time to fill that, like Jaylen Warren a few years ago when he was undrafted and he stepped right in behind Najee Harris. I guess off the top of my head, who else was even on the running back depth chart that year? Obviously nobody too inspiring. Maybe City Limits can effort that research, but Jaylen Warren stepped right in and was helpful from the jump. I think this year, as good as Beanie Bishop's counting stats were as a rookie, the four picks, you know, he had two of them against the aforementioned complicated fella, Aaron Rodgers. But I thought he was up and down at times in terms of, and it's always tough to know the assignment, but it seemed like he was confused at times on the field and wasn't necessarily where he was supposed to be. And those are understandable for a rookie, but he's also on the smaller side.
Yeah.
He played outside for the most part at West Virginia. So I think the seventh round pick, the second seventh, the seventh B, as 7B, as Mike Tomlin likes to say, Dante Kent from Central Michigan, could actually have a chance to make the team and play in the slot. And so could an undrafted guy, another Iowa Hawkeye, Sebastian Castro,
ooh,
who throws his body around with reckless abandon and just wants to hit people. I don't know if he's quick and fast and tall enough to cover NFL wide receivers from the nickel position, but he'll definitely lay the wood.
Let's ask about other obscure players and do an interview like that. Does Ben Skoranek have a place on this team?
Absolutely. I don't even really consider him too obscure at this point. I think he kind of became a folk hero last season with his special teams prowess. I think anything he gives you on offense would be an unexpected bonus. But no, I mean, that guy's, it's such a cliche and you always hear coaches say it, but that guy is a football player. I mean, he'll run down there as the punt cover man and get up in guys' faces, force fumbles, recover fumbles, block. I think they like him a lot.
Surely there's not a spot for Cordero Patterson on this team. And if not, does he leave here resenting his old friend Artie Smith?
I mean, you say that, and I tend to agree. But when I put together my roster projection last week, I almost included him because
limits. It's
more so of just why is he still on the roster?
Yes.
I don't think there's a roster bonus, so that might be a big part of it. There's no penalty to keeping him here, taking him to camp. Maybe his old pal Arthur Smith will do him one last solid and he can get some preseason film out there. But based on my interactions with Cordero last summer in Latrobe, he didn't really have much interest in playing preseason football or practicing in August anyway. So I don't know where it leads for him, if he catches on somewhere else or if the writing is simply on the wall. But if he is here, I do have that suspicion that there's a possibility Arthur Smith could want to find ways to use him.
It's our Obscure Steelers segment with Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Have you seen enough? Have they seen enough where we can declare DeMarvin Leal a bust? Or is there still some hope there?
Well, I guess there's a slight glimmer of hope, but I just haven't seen anything really through 2 years in terms of consistency. He showed some flashes as a rookie to make plays, but then he got hurt. And it seemed like he's just has not been heard from again. Conditioning seemed to be an issue for him at various points. I thought he showed up to camp in good shape last year. And, you know, then again, he gets dinged up and you don't see him. So he's a forgotten man. And with all this stated emphasis about being stout against the run, I don't really know that that's his game. And they've just thrown so many more bodies at his two tweener positions, the D-line and that outside big-bodied outside linebacker that they were trying to find a role for him. So I'm not very optimistic for him going into year three. I don't know if you consider a third-round pick a bust, but when you figure that they're supposed to become starters at some point in their career, it's arguable for sure.
Christian Kuntz seems safe as the long snapper, Brian.
I actually wanted to ask that question. Is he underrated, Brian?
You interrupted my question.
Limits. I know.
Go ahead,
I'm
Brian.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Yes.
Is he an underrated?
Yeah,
underrated long snapper.
I think they'll bring in another one because they want to have two for camp, but I don't think he's in any danger. So I'll put it that way. If they sign some random guy as their second long snapper, do not panic on behalf of local boy Christian Kuntz.
Now, they keep stats on everything, deep analytic stats. Ben Cherington tells us that underneath real stats like base hits, runs, home runs, and things like that, lurks a very maybe league-leading pirate offense. You just have to search for it. Do they have stats on long snappers, Brian? Is it based on velocity, accuracy? Does anybody keep stats?
Danny Smith has run 10,000 simulations like Neil Huntington once did to determine that Christian Kuntz's operation time is right where it needs to be. But no, yeah, they do time snap to hold, snap to, I guess, punters waiting hands. I don't know what exactly you call that, but yeah, they've got all that stuff. He's got stacks of those papers and stopwatches. So it's partly that. That's obviously the biggest component, but I don't know if you ever watched Kuntz bust his butt to get down there. It's not like he was unathletic. He was an outside linebacker at Duquesne. He has a preseason sack to his name in the NFL.
That's right.
I like to bring that up. I like to bring that up sometimes in the locker room. If like a new guy is around Kuntz's locker or giving him some crap, I like to point out that he does have an NFL sack on his ledger. And then Kuntz, being the funny, self-deprecating guy he is, likes to bring up that no one's ever heard of that offensive lineman that he beat. So.
Finishing our long snapper talk, 7 years, 8 years later, are you still in shock that the Steelers expended a sixth-round pick on one Colin Holba? I don't think I've ever seen a team draft a long snapper. They actually did it.
Tired of losing power? Feeling powerless? Call Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, Electric today for a free estimate on a whole home standby generator. Never be without power again. Fully installed systems starting at just $99 a month. Power your sump pump, your fridge, your freezer, your garage doors, your heating and cooling, so your home stays safe and comfortable. Four Seasons is the largest and most award-winning Generac dealer in Illinois.
For the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Yeah, that's one of those picks. I wasn't on the beat yet. I guess I would have been covering Pitt or maybe even high schools for the Post-Gazette back then. But I remember where I was. I was going for a run around North Park when the draft pick came across. And I said, the Steelers really just picked? I guess it would have been like Saturday afternoon. So yeah that all makes sense. Yeah, that's one of those flashbulb moments, I think. Do you remember where you were when the Steelers used not just a draft pick, but a sixth round pick on a long snapper?
I do.
That's what always kind of gets me. Where were you, Joe?
I was in my living room. Limits, do you remember where you were when the Steelers drafted a long snapper?
I was at my house, and then I yelled across the room, oh my gosh, they drafted a long snapper! Let's go! Most obscure position you could draft. It's like drafting a punter when they took Presley Harvin. Remember that?
I interviewed him one day, Brian. I was desperate enough at training camp. We were all standing around the weight room. It used to be the cafeteria, but it had become the weight room. And I didn't have a story and got desperate. And I think I asked Jim Wexel or maybe Cabali, is that new long snapper around? And they said yes. And then I approached him and to my terror realized I'd forgotten his name. And he was immediately on to that. And it was a very uncomfortable conversation. Please proceed.
Yeah, that can be rough when you're trying to do those training camp interviews. And I mean, they're not in their jerseys by and large when they're walking to and from lunch or wherever else they're going. So you really got to have an eye for the various faces, or at least be able to use some context clues like, oh, you know, this guy's got his Arizona State backpack on. I think that's the fourth string tight end who made a right. nice catch today at St. Vincent.
Anything to say on Julius Welshoff, Jacob Slade, or Dominique Davis?
Yeah, Julius Welshoff does not occupy an offseason roster spot because he's part of the International Player Pathway Program. He is from Germany, and he started his career at Michigan, transferred to Charlotte. So it's kind of a he's the new Christian Scotland Williamson. Didn't you write about him too,
Joe? I did, yes. That's how desperate I got that year. Yeah. And pretended he actually had a chance, yes.
Jacob Slade, defensive tackle, was on the practice squad all last season, but that's not why I bring him up. He was Derek Harmon's kind of big brother, weight room mentor type person his freshman year at Michigan State.
So you didn't know that limits,
friendly,
did you?
Familiar
no.
face.
And how about Dominique Davis?
I've got nothing there.
Yeah. How about Azizi?
I mean, he was around last year at times, but.
How about Azizi Odemewu? Odemewu.
Yeah, I got nothing. He's new this offseason.
Limits, any obscure Steelers you'd like to ask about?
Oh, man. I'm trying to think. Who would be the most obscure defensive lineman that the Steelers have just added?
I just mentioned
probably
him.
That guy's. Odemewu. Yeah, those two guys.
Probably Odemewu.
Who's the most obscure player on the whole team? Him or maybe Aaron Shampkin? Shampklin?
He got in some games last year. I would have said Thomas Rush, but they released him.
How about Rock
week,
Taylor?
So it can't be him. No, he's undrafted free agent. Here's two. They have a Cameron McCutcheon, who's a defensive back of some flavor, and a Lance McCutcheon, who's a wide receiver. And they're both spelled McCutcheon with an O in there, so that's tough. I don't know how those two guys are going to separate, literally and figuratively.
Is the punter who looks like Bill Burr going to be back this year?
Cameron Johnston.
Cameron Johnston, yes.
Yeah, and he might be their number one punter, depending on how that... Remember how gruesome that leg injury was week one in Atlanta?
Oh,
man, you don't see too many hits like that where the punter just has his leg fully extended. That's got to be one of the most vulnerable positions in the violent game that is football. But when a punter's leg is just sitting out there like a spick, you know, it's just... Man, and he got crushed in that Falcons game. So he was around the team last year a lot. I give him credit. He was trying to help out. Obviously, Corliss Waitman, who took over the punting duties, but even guys like Calvin Austin, who were trying to catch punts from various guys around the league, he was trying to give him little tips and pointers. So, good guy, Cameron Johnston, but I think his health is going to determine that job between he and Corliss Waitman.
Who's going to return kicks, Kenneth Gainwell, or will Cordero still be here?
It can't be Cordero, right? I mean, it was painful to watch last season. Maybe you give him the benefit of the doubt a little bit that he did get hurt in week 4 or 5 against the Colts, and maybe had lost some of his speed. But man, it looked like he was running in mud. I think Kenneth Gainwell is a decent option for that. You know, they've never wanted to use Calvin Austin there, which is sort of interesting. But yeah, I mean, I think Gainwell would make the most sense. He's done it with the Eagles. He's probably going to be the third running back here behind Warren and Caleb Johnson. So, yeah, that would be my pick, Joe.
You're going to interview...
Not Justin Fields anymore, I guess.
No.
He can't do it.
You're going to interview Carson Bruner, the son of Mark, at training camp, maybe along with Jeremiah Moon in a dual interview, Brian?
Probably get Bruner this upcoming weekend. Rookie minicamp will begin on the south side. And obviously, he's more interesting than your typical seventh-round pick. I think that's a very cool story for him and his family and the Steelers scouting department,
yeah,
of course, being the son
sure.
of Mark Bruner. But I think it also puts a little bit of that added, I don't know if pressure is the right word, or, you know, some people look at that with a side eye as, okay, did this guy get drafted for his name? But ultimately, it's a seventh round pick. He was a good player at Washington, really good special teams player. So we'll see what kind of name he can make for himself.
Rookies Sebastian Castro and JJ Galbraith on the Steelers roster do not have ages listed on their official profile, unlike everyone else. Do you know anything about that? Do you know why that is? Is that an oddity?
Good question. I like that question. Yeah, why is that?
It says N.A.
They like Ron Cook. They don't want anybody to know their birthday.
They're looking up the birth certificates, I guess, there for Castro and Galbraith, undrafted guys. No, I could probably find it somewhere, but maybe the Steelers roster just isn't the right place. So there's a bunch of NAs on here. City Limits, Ben Sauls.
Yeah,
Rock
Ben
Taylor.
Sauls too. What are you talking about, Limits? They're all over the place.
Yeah, I guess there are a couple more. Rock Taylor, Keyshawn Williams. Why is that though? I mean, they have everything else. They have rookie, height, weight, what jersey number they're going to wear, but they don't have their age.
Yeah, the least they can do is put a birthday on there, Brian.
Yeah, happy birthday to Cam Hayward today.
It's his birthday?
You'll have to send a kindly... City Limits send a kindly worded letter to Steelers PR, I guess, to please inquire about the ages of these seven or eight guys.
I'm curious.
Signed as undrafted free agents. Happy birthday to Cam Hayward.
When does rookie camp open again?
Friday. Well,
all
it's
right.
first open to the media Friday. I think the guys probably report Thursday.
When mini camp opens, when the veterans are going to be there, what's first, Brian? Mini camp or OTAs? Which one?
OTAs.
Okay.
OTAs are first. And they're, I mean, if you really want to go down into the weeds, I mean, they've got off-season activities, phase one or phase two or something right now, which is, you know, conditioning and weight room and stuff.
Well, the first time we see veterans will be OTAs then?
Some of them are there now. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of the first, like, doing things with a football in their hands activity, yes.
Yeah. So, in my opinion, if I were an editor, I think the biggest story, if I was sending somebody over to cover the Steelers and I knew the veterans were going to be there, I think the single biggest story there is Mason Rudolph right now. The fact that he's back, and he could be the starter. And if he's not the starter, he's one, you know, one heartbeat away with an ancient starter who just missed a whole season a couple of years ago. Mason Rudolph, to me, is the biggest story on the whole team. How do you feel?
I disagree with every syllable and half syllable you just uttered, because I think if TJ Watt and or George Pickens are present, those two guys and their contract situations probably supersede Mason somewhat. But I don't know that those two guys are going to be there. So that might be moot. And
Limits?
We know Mason is going to be there.
Limits, would you break the tie there? Which one would you have your guy go to first for a story?
Yeah, I think...
Well, if the other guys aren't there, I guess that answers the question.
If everybody is there...
Or do you ask other players about them not being there?
Yeah, you're right.
If everyone is there, the first thing I do is go up to TJ Watt and say, hey, what was your cryptic social media post about?
Actually, you guys are right, the more I think about it, and I'm wrong. What do you think's going to happen with TJ Watt and Pickens? Are we going to see dual Holdens?
You know, that is... What's so fascinating about all of these hold-in situations that the Steelers have gone through is it does set a precedent. I mean, shoot, TJ set his own because he's already been through this once. I think TJ's deal will get done. When, I don't know. They already have good evidence that he doesn't need to be involved in every single team drill to still go out there and have the type of season you expect from him. Pickens is more on my radar because Pat Freiermuth, I guess to his credit, if you want to be all team first about it, last year did not hold in and still got done right before week one. Still got his extension that put him right there on the cusp of the top 10 paid tight ends in the NFL. So he took a different tack than some of these other players previously. Deontay Johnson did not. He was at OTAs and was at mandatory minicamp in the spring, but did not do any team activities at training camp until he got his extension signed. Now, will Pickens kind of operate that same way? He's seen one receiver do it, a receiver who's probably not as talented as him. Deontay was arguably more accomplished at that point. But the big difference, of course, there was no DK Metcalf in front of Deontay Johnson back then. He had a lot more leverage as the team's clear-cut number one guy. So I don't know where that all goes.
Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome.
Wonderful man, isn't he, Limits?
He is awesome.
He's
goodbye, Brian.
Best. You can read Brian Bacco's stuff at postgazette.com. I failed to ask about the shirt, which looked interesting. Is he still on the line?
No, he hopped off.
Were you interested in that? Curious at all?
I was. I did look at it and
what
took
did
a couple
say?
Of glimpses. I can't entirely remember.
Me neither.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate, whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family. Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
That's a good one. Limits. Would you like to pepper me with questions, or would you like me to open this conversation?
You know what, Joe? Usually I take the floor. I'm going to defer it to you this time.
You're going to cede the floor, aren't you?
I am. I will cede it to you.
Jeff Passan's great at what he does. I like him a lot. He's entertaining, he's informative, and he's connected. And he just put out a piece on ESPN.com about MLB's next multi-hundred-million-dollar stars. Who are they? He predicts the mega contracts out there, divided into categories. The first is $100 million guys. He's got the likes of Pete Alonso, Dylan Cease, Kyle Schwarber, and such. Okay, $200 million guys is the first place where we see a pirate. Would you like to guess which one comes up there?
The $200 million player? Going to say O'Neill Cruz.
You're exactly right about that. Passan writes, Cruz looks as if he's finally figuring it out. Home run rate jumped, 14 steals. Walk rate is fifth best in baseball. I wasn't aware of that till I just read it. Strikeouts down. All that's separating him from stardom is a ghastly glove in center, where the 6'7" Cruz moved from shortstop. His offensive abilities are bountiful enough to earn a big number that starts with a 2.
Yeah, I believe
when he hits free agency at 30. Like, he's looking, you know, Passan's looking far into the future. Who are the mega million-dollar guys? So it begs the question. Should the Pirates sign this guy to a $200 million deal?
I thought you were going to say, should the Pirates try to sign him now?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yes,
especially because of the age that he is.
Would it take $200 million? Do you think he'd go for $100 million now?
Well, I think you probably have to meet him in the middle. It's more likely going to be $150. $200 is steep, considering they've never gave anybody more than the $107 Brian Reynolds received a couple of years ago. $150 for Cruz over 8 years? Could you go with that?
I could, yeah.
Reynolds was what, 8 years, 107?
I don't think they will, but I would, and they should. Now, I don't know. He may want to bet on himself. I mean, this guy could make big numbers in arbitration coming up and then just explode onto the free agent market at 30 and make at least $200 million. So if I'm the Pirates, I'm jumping on this now. Are you?
Yes. Yes, I would. I would have thought about it last year as well, or at least in spring training. You know how previous years they signed Reynolds, Hayes, and Keller, a little out of order there, but all in spring training?
Yeah.
This could have been the year that they did that with Cruz before the exponential jump, especially if they thought that all the effects of the injury would be gone, which it seems like they are.
Other guys in the $200 million category, Riley Green of the Tigers, Spencer Strider from the Braves despite injury issues, Logan Gilbert from the Mariners, etc. I even think that might be a little light for Cruz, honestly, if he gets to where I think he might go. And he might bet on himself, man, but if I'm the Pirates, I'm jumping in right now. And I realize his resume doesn't have much on it yet. It doesn't.
Well, that's why it probably wouldn't exceed 200.
But it's all about, well, he's talking about the time he's 30. Where do we think he's going from here to age 30? I think big places. We'll see. The Pirates got to be proactive, like the Jackson Chourio deal in Milwaukee and others. You got to jump on these things and tempt them with guaranteed money. $300 million. Well, Chourio is right there as a $300 million guy. James Wood of the Nationals. Man, does he look like a great hitter. Does he look like a great young hitter?
He looks like a star.
He really does.
Left side of the plate, can really swing it. He did some damage when the Pirates played against the Nationals. Now the Pirates won that series, but Wood looked really good in that series too.
$400 million, Scooble from the Tigers, and Paul Skeens. He says the 22-year-old helped his clock by winning Rookie of the Year and the full year of service that comes with it. He'll be just 27 when he's on the market for the 29 season, and a Scooball does indeed crack the $400 million threshold. It would be no surprise to see Skeens, the best pitching prospect in a generation, parlay his productivity, age, and marketability into becoming baseball's first half-billion-dollar pitcher. See, I agree with that. I don't think it's $400 million. I think it's going to be more.
I think it's $5 million.
So do I.
It's going to start with a $5 million, and there might be two $5 million in that deal. $550 million is probably where it'll top out at.
And listen, I don't think that the Pirates ever had or ever would have a chance to sign Skeens into free agency. No. But if they did ever have a chance, it would be because they were putting together a team around him and were winning. And that is decidedly not happening. So pretty soon the clock's going to start ticking where we're wondering, hey, are they going to trade him and try and get something like a bounty for this guy or just let him go? We've seen it happen both ways in baseball. Gerrit Cole's an example from here. They didn't exactly get a bounty, but they did try. They traded him with 2 years left on his deal. Out in Anaheim, they had, for some reason, they let Ohtani play right up to the end of his contract and got nothing.
Got nothing.
So, yeah, man, pretty soon the clock starts ticking on Skeens sooner than most people think, which isn't easy to say. $500 million. I think that's where Skeens will be, but they have Kyle Tucker and Elly De La Cruz. That's what Passan has there.
Elly De La Cruz is, what, a $400 million player?
$500 million.
So Gerrit Cole signed for 9 and 324 in 2020.
Yeah.
Now we're talking 2029 at that point. Inflation, contracts, they go through the roof.
Right.
It would not surprise me at all to see Skeens blow past that Cole contract by over $200 million, where it could be a 524, 525, 550. Elly De La Cruz, though, seems a little bit premature, though. To put Elly De La Cruz at $500 million and O'Neill Cruz at $200 million, a separation of $300 million, I think they're somewhat similar players. I know Elly De La Cruz has gotten there a little bit quicker than O'Neill has, but I think those guys are going to be making similar amount of money.
You might be right about that. I lean toward you, actually, on that, but he's got him as a future $500 million player, and he has one guy. I think he talked to some executives around the league in making this story, so it's not just his opinion. It's sort of a conglomeration of opinions. He has one man in all of Major League Baseball as the first $600 million player. Would you care to take a gander on that one? Limits? Wrong.
Bobby Witt Jr.
Good guess, but wrong.
Yeah, because he just got a deal with Kansas City.
That doesn't matter. So did Jackson Chourio, and he's included in this story. It's for long-range plans.
Soto already signed. I'm trying to think of who the biggest, newest, young prospect is that just maybe came out of the draft.
Wrong.
I'm going to say Julio Rodriguez.
Gunnar Henderson.
Yeah, he crossed my mind, too.
No, he didn't, or you would have said it.
He did.
Shortstop for the Orioles. You have a lot of Malzy tendencies.
I thought
there.
Of Adley.
Well, why didn't you say it then?
Because I thought of Adley Rutschman first, and I didn't want to guess two Orioles.
Adley Rutschman as a $600 million player. He's a 220 hitter.
He's got a lot of power.
Limits.
Yeah, I know. Rutschman's going to make a lot of money, though. He's going to make a lot of money. He's a good player.
You have to cut out the Malzi tendencies. It's okay to...
Hey, Malzi is...
It's okay to be wrong and just to not have a guess. If you would ask me, if you had this story and you were asking me, I would have made probably a number of idiotic guesses and wouldn't have gotten Gunnar Henderson right.
Malzi has made a lot of
But
great...
you and Malzi both in retrospect wanted... Oh, yeah, I had that one.
Malzi has made a great career for himself. If I could have a good of career as Malzi has, I'll be happy.
Beside the point. And I love Malzi. He's a wonderful man. But if you ask Malzi, did you see that movie? Even if he didn't, he's going to say yes. And I don't want you to fall into that trap.
Ask me if I've seen a movie then.
Shawshank Redemption.
I actually have seen that, yeah. I actually have seen that. And you know when I did see that? I did an overnight shift on KDKA AM, like, 2.5 years ago, and the movie was on.
It's a Wonderful Life.
I've seen It's a Wonderful Life at Christmas time, yes.
Mm.
Keep going.
That one I'm a little dubious on.
No, that one I did see about 5 years ago.
Yeah, what happens in it? Give me the plot.
It's an absolutely wonderful life, Joe. You know why? Because the man realizes with his family that family is what ultimately matters most of anything. And isn't it that the movie where the bells are ringing?
How does he realize that, Limits?
I can't remember. I watched it 5 years ago.
Watch the movie.
I did watch that movie.
Limits.
Keep going.
There's something horribly wrong here, and I want to correct this in you. You're a young man.
Here we go.
Don't become Malzi. It's
okay. I have family members that can vouch that they watched it with me. I have seen it.
You would remember that the guy died, basically, and had to look at his life and then came back to life, that type of thing.
Yeah, I guess that is the main plot of the movie. I completely forgot. Any other movie that you'd like to test my knowledge on?
You didn't completely forget. You didn't see it.
I saw it when I was, like, putting up decorations. Okay. I was distracted. It was on in the background.
This confirms what I've long believed about Malzi. This is not a character flaw. It's borderline disease. It's okay. It's okay that you didn't see it.
So I picked it up from Malzi, this disease.
Or you have the same one.
What's the name of the disease?
Making people think I'm smarter than I am disease. Or more, not smarter, more well-rounded.
Like when you didn't believe me and you claimed that I was cheating when we were going over how many people have thrown a no-hitter in baseball history.
But I still do, because I think this might be a disease.
And there was another one where you said, you slipped out what the answer was, and then I just said it, and you're like, how did you get that? Because you just said it and you didn't mean to.
This is a form of FOMO, fear of missing out. This is a branch disease of that. Is fear of not knowing, fear of being seen as not knowing.
Okay, name another movie then.
Almost Famous.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
Yeah, I didn't think so. This is like that commercial. You know that commercial where the guy with the mustache, the white mustache,
Joe Potocnik, JP Roofing.
No, not him. Tells people not to be like their parents, but they can't help it.
The progressive commercial. yes.
You and Malzi have this. You can, and so this is not. I'm not criticizing. I want to help you. Like that guy helps.
Oh,
them.
You
want
to help?
Yeah, in the progressive commercial.
Don't become your parents.
Right. Don't become like Malzi.
Our basketball coach at Baldwin, Jeff Ackerman, gave me a whole list of movies that I need to watch.
Yeah.
Including Dazed and Confused, Old School, Wedding Crashers, Swingers.
Great. Yeah.
Tombstone. Rest in peace, Val Kilmer, he said in a text message he sent me not long ago.
I didn't see that one. See? Yep. It's easy to say that if you haven't. And you didn't know about Gunnar Henderson. You weren't going to say Gunnar Henderson.
If you gave me another five guesses, I probably would have got there.
That's a very different thing.
That's a very different thing.
I thought of him and was going to say it. It's okay.
Okay.
We all have this. Mm-hmm. We have this. And I want you to be better. I mean, feel better.
Mm.
I mean, not have a disease, okay? This is out of compassion.
I'll take that for what it's worth.
Okay. Which isn't much in your opinion. No,
apparently it's... kind of pedestrian, considering the Limitless Express was completely blown through. You know, the train never stopped at the track. No one was able to jump on. It just went right by.
So you were going to say Gunnar Henderson, but you didn't. He's the one guy on here as a $600 million player.
That's right.
He says he plays a far more important position than Juan Soto, who has the current biggest contract. And even if he moves to third base, that'll still be true. In two full seasons, put up more than 15 WAR, that stat that measures all-around contribution. Still needs more years of consistent quality before he can be looking at a $600 million deal. Jeez! What are the texters saying about your problems, limits.
Thankfully, nothing this time.
No?
The texters came very hard on me on the Will Howard take.
I know.
So
they
I think they might be tired out.
No, I think our text line's open if you have suggestions, compassionate suggestions for limits and the signs, the early signs he's showing of Malzahn disease.
Early signs.